1918, surrender of the German fleet, Firth of the Forth. Midshipman W.B. Adam, RNVR on HMS Venturous, October 1918. Narrated by David Robertson. A few weeks before the end of the war, we had been fitted with paravanes, the new mining protecting gear, but most of us had become so used to the thought of passing through minefields that we viewed the new contraptions with mixed feelings. The two paravanes were attached by wires to a fitting low down on the forefoot and were towed several feet below the surface, about level with the after funnel, and some little distance from the ship's side. The gear sometimes gave trouble and was always awkward when the ship was under helm at low speed, but we developed a pride in being the handiest ship in the flotilla at dropping paravanes and getting them towing at the right level. We eventually reached such a state of efficiency that on receipt of the executive signal out PVs from Abdeel, we were able to hoist one pennant, evolution completed, 8 seconds later. On one occasion, when there was some trouble with the paravanes towing unevenly, I was sent to lie along the forecastle head and hang over the bows, the guardrails being down, to watch the movement of the wires supporting the fitting in the forefoot. Actually, I was more interested in the rise and the fall of the bows, and the tiny plume of the spray that unaccountably curved forward from our stern, like a perpetual and self-renewing note of interrogation. On the night of 1920th November, as we prepared to turn north at Spurn Point, Vanquisher ahead of us had trouble with our paravanes, and this caused us to reduce speed so that we overrode our own paravanes as we swung slowly to port. As the disentangling of the wires would have been a most tedious operation, we promptly discarded the whole gear and proceeded unencumbered to our destination. By 9 o'clock next morning, we were off May Island and 2 hours later had anchored at Craigwaugh near the island of Inchkeith. All around us lay the destroyers of the Grand Fleet, amongst nearest being the flotilla leaders, Shakespeare, Spencer and Samares. Further up the river, behind the spans of the bridge, with its suspended submarine nettings, lay the battle fleet and battle cruiser force, with their attendant cruisers, light cruisers and destroyers. There was little movement in the Forth, except where one small destroyer, lighter in colour than the rest, and with tall, heavily raked masts, passed through the lines of ships wearing the Royal Standard at her forepeak. She was the Oak, with the King on board, making a tour of inspection of his fleet before they put to sea to accept the surrender of the German fleet. In the afternoon, a fresh breeze sprang up and all the ships in the flotilla lowered whalers for a race. I joined the crew of ours, and although we got away with a bad start, we soon picked up rapidly as we sped along the course round the flotilla to an exciting when we were just beating for second place. Most of us were tired that evening, and as we were to put to sea early next morning, we turned into bed.